Welcome to the HSD podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Lamb, RN, MBA, and Mock Surveyor for Life Care Services, and we're going to be talking about the new FTAG numbering system and the regulations that are contained in each of the new FTAGs. Our goal is to help you, our listeners, understand each of these FTAGs now that they are fully in use during the state survey process. Today, we're going to be specifically talking about FTAG 607 to develop and implement abuse and neglect policies. Now, today's podcast is going to be a little bit longer because we're going to dive into each of those. But I'd like to welcome you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Laura. I'm glad to be here. And I'm excited to talk about these new FTAGs that we have, and specifically today, the F607, and to get our communities ready for their state survey.
Wonderful. And since we're doing a series on the new FTAGs, can you tell our listeners what they'll expect from this series as we continue?
Sure. Well, what we've been doing and what we've continuing to do for a while is covering one FTAG per podcast that's contained under the 49 tags identified as substandard quality of care. And to define substandard quality of care, CMS says that it is having more than one deficiency related to participation requirements under resident behavior and facility practices, quality of life, and quality of care that constitute either immediate jeopardy to resident health and safety, a pattern of or widespread actual harm that is not immediate jeopardy, or a widespread potential for more than minimal harm but less than immediate jeopardy with no actual harm. We will be using the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, or the SOM, the Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities that became effective November 28th, 2018. So we are using the most recent version, and we are using the exact same SOM that the surveyors use. So this is our way of providing the best tool for you to learn as much as the surveyors do and to get prepared for your next state survey. And as usual, we like to advise you to download the SOM and follow along so that you get the most complete information.
So Jennifer, FTAG 607 was formerly known as FTAG 226 in the old SOM. And it was basically the regulation that said that facilities had to develop and implement written policies and procedures regarding abuse, neglect, exploitation, and misappropriation. And it was fairly short and it was fairly concise. But with the new FTAG system, with FTAG 607, it takes the content of FTAG 226 and it expands on it further. The new tag actually adds the intent of the regulation and the guidance for training, investigation, and such things as reporting.
Yes, Laura, you're absolutely right. CMS took some very brief content that they had before and expanded it so that we could have a better understanding and educate on what should be done to protect our residents and for us to stay in compliance.
Wonderful. So let's start off with the definition of FTAG 604 or 607. I'm sorry.
Sure. F607 says that the facility must develop and implement written policies and procedures that prohibit and prevent abuse, neglect, and exploitation of residents and misappropriation of resident property. The facility must establish policies and procedures to investigate any allegations. The facility must include training as required. The facility must establish coordination with the CLOPI program, and this part will actually be implemented November 28th, 2019 in phase three, that last bit about the CLOPI program. And so, Laura, could you tell our listeners the intent of the regulation?
Sure. The actual intent of FTAG 607 is to provide the protections for health, welfare, and rights of each resident residing in one of our facilities. So in order to provide these protections, the facilities must develop policies and procedures to prohibit and prevent abuse, neglect, exploitation of residents, and misappropriation of resident property. The components necessary for the policies include screening, training, prevention, identification, investigation, protection, and reporting response.
Yes, and it should be noted that while it is wonderful to have written policies and procedures in place, if they are not implemented, they're not effective. So this is where facility oversight and monitoring comes into play. It's necessary to make sure that staff is carrying out the policies and procedures that have been set forth by the facility, as it is the actions of the staff that determine compliance with CMS requirements.
Well, you're right, because that's great. It's important to have a policy, but if you're not following your policy, a policy doesn't matter. So, I think what would be really beneficial with this FTAG, because there are so many components, I think it would be beneficial if we went through the breakdown of those seven components of the policy and procedures. Do you want to go ahead and start with that, Jennifer? Because I think that's the best way to proceed here.
I absolutely agree. Let's start off then with the first one, screening. The facility must have written procedures for screening potential employees for a history of abuse, neglect, exploitation, or misappropriation of resident property in order to prohibit abuse, neglect, and exploitation of resident property and consistent with the applicable requirements. This includes attempting to obtain information from previous employers and or current employers, like reference checks, and checking with the appropriate licensing boards and registries. The facility's policies must also address how pre-screening occurs for prospective consultants, contractors, volunteers, caregivers, and students in the nurse aid training programs, and also students from affiliated academic institutions that might come into your facility for maybe therapy or activity programs or even social work. The facility should require these individuals to be subjected to the same scrutiny prior to placement in the facility, whether screened by the facility itself, a third-party agency, or academic institution. The facility should maintain documentation of the screening that has occurred.
Well, what types of things would be included in the screening, Jennifer?
Well, for potential employees, the screening should include employment history, references from the employers, both good and bad. So we don't necessarily want to see bad, but if there is bad, we need to have that included. And documentation of status and any disciplinary action from licensing or registration boards or any other agencies. And in addition to employees, residents should also be screened to determine if maybe they have behaviors that the facility should be aware of in order to keep the resident and other residents safe.
Okay, that's great on screening. So the next component is training, and I'll go ahead and take training. The facility must have written policies and procedures that include the training of new and existing nursing home staff and in-service training for nurses' aides in several topics. The first one would be the first topic is prohibit and prevent all forms of abuse, neglect, misappropriation of resident property, and exploitation. The second is to identify what constitutes abuse, neglect, exploitation, and misappropriation of resident property. The third is to recognize the signs of abuse, neglect, misappropriation of resident property and exploitation, such as any physical or psychosocial indicators. The fourth would be the reporting of abuse, neglect, misappropriation, and exploitation, including injuries of unknown origin. The staff should understand to whom and when they should report any knowledge related to allegations, and that should be without any fear of retaliation on the part of the staff member. And then finally, understand the behavioral symptoms of residents that may increase the actual risk of abuse and neglect. And those behaviors could be such as aggressive reactions, wandering, elopement, resistance to care, yelling, or any difficulty in adjusting. So not only does the facility have to offer the initial training, we are responsible for ongoing oversight and supervision of the staff to make sure, again, that those policies and procedures are not only implemented, but they are followed.
Yes. And going right along, the third component of this is prevention. So the facility must have and implement written policies and procedures to prevent and prohibit all types of abuse, neglect, misappropriation, and exploitation. And the policy should achieve the following. As far as prevention, achieving and establish a safe environment that supports, to the extent possible, a resident's consensual sexual relationship, and by establishing policies and protocols for preventing sexual abuse, such as the the identify when, how, and by whom a determination of capacity to consent to a sexual contact will be made, and where this documentation will be recorded, and the resident's right to establish a relationship with another individual, which may include the development of or the presence of an ongoing sexually intimate relationship. Identify, correct, and intervene in situations in which abuse, neglect, misappropriation, and exploitation is more likely to occur, such as staffing issues and having sufficient staff with knowledge to meet the resident needs. It also needs to assure that the residents are free from neglect by having the structures and processes to provide needed care and services to all residents, which includes, but is not limited to, the provision of a facility assessment to determine what resources are necessary to care for its residents competently. We need to identify and have ongoing assessments and care plans, appropriate interviews and interventions, and monitor residents with needs and behaviors that might lead to conflicts. Ensure the health and safety of each resident with regard to visitors, such as family members or resident representatives, friends or other individuals, subject to the resident's right to deny or withdraw consent at any time and to reasonable clinical and safety restrictions. And finally, to provide residents and representatives information on how to and to whom they may report concerns and incidents and grievances without the fear of retribution, and providing feedback regarding the concerns that have been expressed. And in addition, the facility should also evaluate areas where abuse might occur, such as secluded areas. If there's areas that somebody might take a resident off and be secluded, those are areas that we need to evaluate and make sure that, you know, we keep them supervised and monitored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've covered the screening, we covered the training and the prevention. So the fourth area of the seven is identification. And this says that the facility must have written procedures to assist the staff in identifying abuse, neglect, and exploitation of residents and misappropriation of resident property. So this would include identifying the different types of abuse or mental abuse or verbal abuse, identifying sexual abuse, physical abuse, and the deprivation by an individual of goods and services. So not all incidents of abuse are seen by staff or visitors or other residents. So it's really important to identify the indicators of abuse. Some of those indicators could include an injury or a suspicion of an unknown origin, an unusual injury, or a sudden or unexplained change in behavior. Also, a sudden fear of certain people or places could be an indication of abuse. So being alert and identifying occasions of abuse is vital for those who work with residents who are the most vulnerable. And now the next component is the investigation. So what do we need to do with the fifth component, investigation, Jennifer?
Well, what the facility needs to do is we must have written procedures for investigating those abuse, neglect, misappropriation, and exploitation allegations. And those include identifying staff that's responsible for the investigation, handling evidence that may be used in criminal investigations without damaging or destroying the evidence, investigating different types of alleged violations, identify and interview all involved persons, including the alleged victim, the alleged perpetrator, the witnesses, and others who may have any knowledge of the allegations. Focus the investigation on determining if abuse, neglect, misappropriation, or exploitation has occurred, and provide complete and thorough documentation of the investigation. The investigation is important for gathering information that the state will ask for when they conduct their own investigation, as well as any criminal investigators that may come to the facility. This information can make the difference in a case being substantiated or unsubstantiated, and in protecting the resident that may have been a victim or any other potential victim.
The sixth component is protection. So the facility, again, must have those written policies and procedures that ensure that all residents are protected from physical and psychosocial harm during and after an investigation. And that's important that we're talking about after the investigation also. So it must include responding immediately to protect the alleged victim and integrity of the investigation, to examine the alleged victim for any signs of injury, including a physical examination or actually a psychosocial assessment if in fact that's needed, increase supervision of the alleged victim and the resident's room or staff changes if necessary to protect the resident from the alleged perpetrator, protection from retaliation, and to provide emotional support and provide counseling to the resident during and again after that investigation. We've had several times that the most important thing we can do is to protect the resident at all times.
I agree, absolutely. And now bringing us to the final component of the seven, it's the reporting and response. The facility must have written procedures that must include immediately reporting all alleged violations to the administrator, state agency, Adult Protective Services, and to all other required agencies like law enforcement, if that's applicable. And we have to do this within specified time frames. We need to assure that reporters are free from retaliation or reprisal. Reporting to the state nurse aid registry or licensing authorities any knowledge that it has of any actions by a court of law which would indicate an employee is unfit for service. We need to take all necessary actions as a result of the investigation, which may include but are not limited to the following. Maybe analyzing occurrences to determine why it happened and how to prevent it in the future. Define how care will be changed or improved to protect the residents. Train staff on changes and have the staff demonstrate competencies. Identify staff that's responsible for corrective actions and identify staff responsible for the implementation of the plan and the date when the implementation of the procedures will go into effect.
So we've covered a lot with these seven components. We've covered screening, training, prevention, identification, investigation, protection, and report and response. And there's a lot of important information in all of that. But let's talk for a minute, Jennifer, about the elements of noncompliance, where a surveyor might cite a facility for FTAG 607.
Okay, certainly. When surveyors go to cite F607, they are looking for at least one of the following. Of these facility failures. They look for if the facility failed to develop and implement, and I want to stress that word implement. You can develop them, but you got to implement those written policies and procedures that prohibit and prevent abuse, neglect, and exploitation of residents and misappropriation of resident property. And that includes the screening of prospective employees and residents. The facility fails to develop and implement written policies and procedures for the investigation of allegations of abuse, neglect, exploitation, and misappropriation of property, and includes the staff identification of abuse, neglect, exploitation, misappropriation, and exploitation. And also, it talks about the protection of residents during the investigation and the reporting of those allegations and investigate findings and taking corrective actions. Another area where they could cite F607 is if the facility fails to develop and implement written policies and procedures that include training. So please note that just having policies and procedures written is just not enough. They have to be implemented.
They have to be implemented and the staff has to be trained, correctly?
Absolutely.
So 607, again, is another really important FTAG. And I think this has been really good information today, Jennifer. We've covered a lot of information in today's podcast. And so our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. And feel free to go back and listen to this from the beginning since there's so much information here. And we hope that this has been beneficial for you and that you're going to continue to join us as we review the 49 substandard quality of care FTAGs. So thank you too, Jennifer, and I am really looking forward to our next discussion.
Thank you, Laura. I look forward to it as well. And the next time we get together, it'll be F608, reporting of reasonable suspicion of a crime.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.